Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to a new episode of Journey Through Hell with Mental Health Conditions, El Infierno de las Enfermedades Mentales. Our episode today is Medicine Energy. Remember that we are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. As always, we ask for your help to raise awareness to remove the stigma about mental health conditions. We never know if someone close to us might be suffering from some mental issues, such as depression, anxiety, insomnia, etc. Remember that if someone would like to participate in one of our episodes and share their experiences, they can get in touch with me through social media or my email, carcori@pm.me. That is carcori@pm.me. And as I mentioned, our episode today is about energy medicine with our special guest, Miriam Lugo. Miriam is an energy medicine consultant, a semiologist, and Reiki master. And well, let's welcome Miriam. Miriam, thank you very much for being with us tonight. And is there anything that you like to add to your credentials that I didn't mention?
Thank you, Carlos. I'm happy to be here sharing with you and with your audience. Yes, I would like to add that I am a homeopath also.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. Anything else?
Well, just that this is a very interesting topic, and well, I'm passionate about it, about energy medicine. I dedicate my professional life to it, so I am very happy to be here sharing with you today.
Well, thank you. And what made you go into this field or this profession, energy medicine, Reiki master? Why this profession?
Well, ever since I was a child, I remember being kind of intuitive and also very sensitive to energy. So I kind of started experiencing energy and interacting with it when I was young, and it was kind of, just playful and interesting. But then, when I was a teenager, I was sick, and my mother found some alternative healing methods. And that's when I met all this kind of therapies. And I became really fond of them because they were of great help. So,
When you say you were sick, what do you mean by you meant sick, and what do you mean by different alternatives that your mom found?
well, I had these terrible headaches, and I was going through, I don't know, just processes. I guess the teen years are not easy sometimes. And I was really having migraines, and I was suffering a lot because they were kind of really strong. And I remember that I would just like go blind, lose my sight at the time. And that was hard for doctors because they started to give me meds that were really strong, and my mother was worried about that. So we found this alternative, and it was great because those episodes just were gone after a while of getting treatment with this kind of therapies.
Okay, and when you say these new methods or different methods, your mom took you away from pharmaceuticals, like traditional medicine.
Yes, that's right.
What is it that you tried that was different? And I'm sorry for trying to go too much into this, but I'd like to know what you tried.
Course, I'm happy to share. I was on juice therapy. I don't know if that's what you call it in English, but I was
Juice.
basically juices. Yes,
Okay.
I was. Just, I don't know, taking juices like onion with lettuce and apple.
Okay.
And I stopped eating solids for about 3 months. And the intention was to purify the organism And that was very helpful. And afterwards, I was treated with some kind of herbs and teas and other kind of remedies. So basically, those were the kind of therapies that I got back then. When I was older, maybe around my 20s, I again had these episodes, and then I started experiencing some other kind of therapies. Okay, maybe that was the first time when I met energy therapies, having someone do healing on my body, and I was very receptive, and it worked really, really great for me. And when I was near my 30s, I remember that I was very obsessive about things, and I was a perfectionist. You
Who's
know,
not?
sometimes I kind of get in there still, but not as much as before. So that generated a lot of stress. It was very stressful. And then I just started experiencing fatigue. After that, I developed chronic stress, and then I went into burnout. And after that, I was diagnosed with dysautonomia. That was my nervous system breaking down, you know, after all this obsessive behavior and trying to meet perfection, being very stressed. So I had this kind of breakdown at a point around my 30s. And that was, I guess, the moment when I transitioned into practicing also these kind of alternatives. That's when I met Reiki and I became a practitioner, and I went into studying homeopathy as a career. And this is interesting when I look at it, because I decided to become responsible of my own health, and I wanted to be active in my healing process. So that basically took me to learn the techniques and to study and learn about health so that I could recover my own health. You know, it was not only my physical health, but my emotional health and my mental health. So once I was recovering myself, people started looking for me. Of course, some nearby people started recommending me, and that's how I started to get into this professionally.
Okay, that's very interesting, because you personally went through all this process of suffering from something, and then trying all these alternative options or different alternatives, and now you're a practitioner. How is society? Is how can I say this? Is Mexican society in this case receptive to practitioners like you trying something different?
I don't think they're quite receptive yet. I mean, maybe some people are, but not the majority. There's still a lot of resistance toward these neural alternatives or types of medicine. Homeopathy is accepted here where I am, in Guadalajara. However, for example, Reiki is not that much accepted, because religion is very strong here, and many Catholics are against Reiki practice, you know, but that's kind of their belief system.
Let me stop you for a second, Miriam.
Yes.
They are against Reiki.
Yes.
Do they know what Reiki is? Or are they just against it because it is something that it is weird or strange? Do they know what it is?
In my opinion, they don't really know what it is. And it's kind of this idea that it's weird, that it's strange, that it comes from another culture, and that we should not accept it. I don't think they really have the knowledge of what Reiki is. So yeah, it's probably just prejudice.
It is something very interesting, because you were just talking about how you became responsible for your own health, right?
Yes.
And you started doing different things. But at the same time, other people in Guadalajara, in this case, they don't want to be responsible for their own health in terms of trying to find something different. And they don't even try to research what something like Reiki is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a strange thing, right? But society here is very, they mind a lot what other people think, you know? Just they really have a strong sense of belonging to their community, and they don't risk doing something different when their community doesn't agree with it. That's something I have found. And even if this is true, there are people that are looking for alternatives. So I can't say everyone's against it, because that's not true. I mean, there is a percentage of the population that is open to this and that is trying to experience and to find new ways or alternatives to complement the processes or the treatments that they are receiving.
So I guess you have patients who are receptive and are open to trying different things that like the ones you offer, right?
Yes. Yes, I do have many consultants that are willing to try new things. And sometimes this part of giving the information and educating the consultant is a fundamental part, so that they can understand what energy medicine is, because many of them don't know. They come here because someone recommended them to come, and they are just trying to experience something new, or they haven't found the result that they are looking for with traditional medicine.
Okay. For everyone else, can you explain what energy medicine is?
Yes, energy medicine is complementary medicine. We name it like that. What it basically does is stimulate, through energy methods, the vital force, the vital energy force, so that the body can do self-healing processes. So when we look at energy medicine, the goal is not to heal the person. This is why we need people to be conscious about their own responsibility in their health processes. Because what energy medicine will do is stimulate the vital force so that the body can do self-healing processes, but it won't do their work.
So it is a kind of the person has to say, yeah, I want to do it.
Yes, definitely.
And I have to go through this process.
Yes.
So what are what would you consider to be the main mental health conditions, if I can call it mental health conditions, since this is about mental health conditions that people bring to you to find relief?
Yes, this is a very interesting question. Anxiety, for example, sleep disorders. I have had consultants with attention deficit and hyperactivity. I have also had consultants that have obsessive compulsive conducts or disorders, chronic stress, even bipolar disorders, sometimes borderline personality.
Mm.
These are the kind of mental illnesses that we can treat with energy medicine. Addictions can also be treated. They are also mental health conditions.
What do psychiatrists say about this?
Well, they usually say that this doesn't work. they usually say
I'm not
that.
Surprised. I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
Ask.
This is very common here. I mean, I understand that probably through their education and their view of disease and illness, they can't really consider that this will work for them because they are not having a holistic approach. They are not treating the whole system. You know, they're focusing on mental illness, just the mind, trying to separate it from the rest of the body, and sometimes even separating the mind from the environment and the family system or the community. And from the energy medicine viewpoint, that does not always work.
Well, that doesn't happen only in Mexico. It happens in the US as well. And I've seen many psychiatrists throughout my life. Well, not throughout my life, but for the last maybe 25 years. And they are not very receptive to things like psilocybin, for instance. They are not receptive to mindfulness. And I remember approaching one of my psychiatrists saying, I told him, you know what, I want to try psilocybin. And he said, oh, no, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That is something that there is not enough research on that. And I was like, what the heck? I mean, there is 50 years of research on this. And you're telling me there is not enough research? So that happens in Mexico as well.
It does. They're not validating other type of research. Only the one that, I don't know how it works, you know, research that they consider that is valid through their method. For example, homeopathy has its own method. Mm-hmm. And just because it's not the method they use, it doesn't mean it doesn't work. You know, they're just different. And they can complement each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I was talking about psilocybin, which is magic mushrooms, right? What do you think about that?
Well, I think these type of medicines can work for some people. I think they need to be prepared to receive that type of substance, and that they also need a process that they can continue afterward so that they can really have benefits, you know, because all these kind of substances are going to modify perception, and they are going to give information to the person that needs to be processed. When a person just goes through the experience because it's something fun or it's something that everyone is doing, and they don't have the preparation nor the process after they have taken the substance, things can not turn out well.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about, we're talking about magic mushrooms or psilocybin, and we're talking about energy medicine. Don't they come together at some point in some kind of spiritual way?
Yes, they do. They do. I mean, some people just look for the magic mushrooms or ayahuasca or peyote analonium, right? Or hickory, that it's also called, because they are trying to connect with their own spirituality. And they do come together at a certain point, and people need to be prepared to do that, because if they are not prepared, we can have the opposite effect. You know, instead of really experiencing the oneness, right, that they say, they might experience a very frightening reality. Mm-hmm. And that's when it gets kind of difficult for people to assimilate the experience.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think people need to be prepared to what they are going to find if they get into one of these ancestral ceremonies with ancestral medication. Do you think that energy medicine is becoming some kind of fashionable now, and people just want to try because, oh, well, it's, you know, it's the new trend, it's a new thing. Let's try it just to see what happens.
Yes, many people do. They're just curious about this new trend and they want to experience and they want to know how it feels. I do have consultants that come here and say, well, I'm just here for the experience. I have never had an energy session before and I want to experience it. I don't think there's anything wrong going on with me, but I just want to know what this is like. So yes, we also do have those kind of consultants.
If there is nothing wrong with them, what would be the treatment like to be like? I mean, if someone comes to you and says, I don't have any kind of anxiety, I don't have any kind of mental disorder, but I just want to see, you know, I just got to have fun.
Yes. Well, I think conscious is always developing, it's evolving, and there's always something we can do. There's always something we can learn, and there's always something we can improve. So if there's a person that considers that life is balanced for them and that they really don't have an issue going on, we can explore probably their goals or what they're looking for in the future and what they need to develop in order to reach those goals. And we can work with that. I mean, there's always something we can do. Some people come and they decide they're not quite ready to work on specific topics. So we can do relaxation, you know, just balancing the energy, some kind of clearing so that they can just feel better. You know, it's wellness.
Yeah. And I was going to ask if someone, for instance, comes to you with insomnia and they are used to taking medication and they want to get rid of medication, are they willing to try a I don't know how long it might take for someone to go back to sleeping without medication. And are they willing to try and do that? Or
many are.
I'm just asking because we are used to having immediate results. We have a headache and we want to take an aspirin right away.
Yes. Now, something that happens with certain types of medicine is that when they have been taking this medication for a long period of time, it loses the effectiveness. And people who in the first stage of insomnia are taking pills, and they continue taking those pills, they will discover that it stops working or that they need an increased dose, right? So that this can work for them. And many times they are aware that that's not good for their health because they are depending on the medication. So that's when they come to me and ask me if there's something natural that doesn't have side effects that they can take in order to sleep well again, you know? And we don't just give the person the remedy they need. We also need to explore what is happening at night, what is going on throughout their day, the amount of stress that they have, and also the habits at night, you know, because now with devices, it's very common that people have cell phones at late hours, you know, at night, and they are in bed with the screens and the lights, and that doesn't allow them to sleep. Or many times they are not slowing down. You know, they're very active and they just come home and want to go to bed immediately, and they're not cooling down, and they need to learn those things. Some people don't have the habit of leaving work in the workplace. They bring it home and they're still in their mind trying to solve things. So it's kind of discovering what is happening with the person. Yes, giving them the remedy that corresponds to whatever problem they have and inviting them to change some habits in their life.
It's about being very proactive, right? Trying to just being that proactive and get involved. And going back to what you said about being responsible about your own health. being part of it, being part of the process, not just letting, okay, I'm seeing someone and that person is going to cure my illnesses or something like that, right?
That's right. We have become powerless. That's something that I strongly believe that we have become powerless because so much power has been given to doctors and to people that are practitioners, you know, health-related practitioners. And suddenly people don't know that they have the right to decide what they want and the methods that are more suitable to their lifestyle and to their personality. Sometimes my therapy won't work for someone, and they have the right to choose not to be doing the process and looking for a different kind of process. And many times I receive consultants saying, you know what, the doctor told me I will live with this forever, that this disease cannot be cured, and that I have to depend on medication. And that's not always true. We can't forget that the pharmaceutical industry is that. It's an industry, and it's making a lot of money. And they need sick people to keep doing that. So when we decide to look for the options that help us recover our balance, and we become proactive in our own health processes, then we gain that power back.
Thank you for touching that topic. It's because it's very important. Many people believe that doctors are like gods.
Yes, they do.
And that we cannot ask a doctor, okay, you are going to give me this medication. What is going to do that for me? What are the side effects? Short-term, mid-term, and long-term. What is going to happen to my body? We don't ask those questions because we believe that doctors are just that, gods. You cannot question a doctor. And of course they are pushing medication because they work for pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, they do.
A lot of them do. And I have always been very critical of the pharmaceutical industry here in the U.S. I have many examples. I could go on and on about what they do here. But talking about mental health conditions used to be a very strong stigma in society. Is still that a fact? And people don't talk about what's going on with our mental health conditions?
I think it's still very strong. People don't like to be labeled, and they don't like to be mentally ill or associated with mental illness because of this social stigma. We, at least here in this society, still people are afraid of what others will say, of being treated differently, of losing opportunities, and this does happen. So people are not open about their mental health conditions.
Do you see young people coming to your practice, or is it just middle-aged, older people having these issues? Because I've seen that a lot of young kids now, teenagers, are having a lot of issues in our society, and they are exposed to so many things, and they are developing many issues. Do you have young patients?
I do. I have teens. And what do they come, I mean, what kind of diseases or mental health conditions do they present? Well, many of them are struggling with attention deficit or hyperactivity or anxiety, or they are also, harming themselves. This is something that is happening a lot here in this society. We also have teens with probably suicidal thoughts, and they are looking for alternatives because they are so young that parents, this is something good, don't want to medicate them being so young. So yes, I do consult young people.
I was reading the other day that bullying is becoming a kind of very strong problem in many places. Are you facing a lot of patients with these issues where kids are being bullied in school and they are going through some problems?
I haven't had that many, you know, bullying specifically, but I have had some. And what they usually manifest is anxiety and depression, and just not avoiding social contact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are like the characteristics that usually come with it. And yes, I think it happens. I just haven't had too many of those cases.
Yeah. And well, of course, you are in Mexico, you're in Guadalajara. Guadalajara is a very conservative society. It's been forever.
Yes, it is.
Right. But do you think, not just Guadalajara, but do you think Mexican society in general is opening up to these new trends, new alternatives in general, and they are being trying to say, well, I'm going to try mindfulness, I'm going to try something different. Are they opening up to new things?
Yes, they are. They are opening to new things, especially younger generations. They do want to feel better, so they are looking, because I think that something I have noticed is that in the younger generations, they look at their parents and they say, I don't want to look like that, you know? And many of their parents have been medicated or are having problems. So they are trying to find different approaches to solve their health issues. And they are interested in meditating, and they are interested in learning breath work. And, you know, this kind of energy medicine is also suitable for them.
And we have had medical health conditions in our societies for many years, but after the pandemic, the COVID-19, there was what some people call a tsunami of people being sicker than
I
before.
agree.
Did you see that happening? And did you get kind of more patients because of those conditions after the pandemic?
Definitely, yes. Energy medicine opened up a lot more because people were seeking for alternatives, and I did get a lot more consultants coming to seek for remedies that could help them with insomnia, with anxiety, with depression. You know, being isolated is something really, really hard for human beings, because social contact is natural and it's necessary for us. Everyone wants to be accepted, and everyone needs to belong to their system and to their community. So when we're not able to interact, this is going to impact our emotions and our mind. So yes, there were a lot more people looking for this kind of medicine to try to solve anxiety and insomnia especially.
Well, a lot of people with more mental issues, what are the possibilities for common people to find this kind of help? In terms of being able to pay for treatment, either for a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or energy medicine. Is that something that people can really do, can afford?
Well, I think that if we that the population in general cannot have easy access to this kind of treatment. Not a lot of people have the resources to pay for a process like this. So unfortunately, no, not everybody has access to it. I think that if our health systems would open up into integrating these kind of alternative or complementary medicines, it would be a lot easier because people could have access through the health system. That doesn't happen here in Mexico yet.
So the government doesn't offer any kind of resources for the low income population looking for something like
what we do have in Mexico is this very specialized hospital in Mexico City. Okay, it's a homeopathic hospital and they treat general population there. And we also have two other hospitals, one in San Luis and I don't remember the other city where the third one is. And they do have access to homeopathy and to psychological treatment. That's what I think that here in Mexico, the government offers that is alternative. And this is something really, really great about Mexico because many countries don't even accept homeopathy as a type of medicine. And here we do have universities where you can study homeopathy and it is regulated by the government. And we do have hospitals where you can access this kind of treatment for free, right? In those specific cities.
Now, if someone wants to get someone needs to see a psychiatrist, are there instances where the government can offer that kind of help to low income people?
I'm sure they should be. I mean, in general hospitals, they probably do have this type of treatments. We do even have hospitals where they can go, you know, that they are specific, like psychiatric hospitals. They just need to approach those instances to get help.
Okay. Well, that is something that we need to be certain that people can access these resources, right? But for those who don't know anything about homeopathy, can you explain more about what it is and how it works?
Sure, I would love to. Well, homeopathy is a very interesting medicine because it is contrary to traditional medicine. Not because it's against it, but because it has the contrary principle. We treat disease with likes. What does this mean? We find a remedy that produces the kind of symptoms that an ill person can experience. And we do this in healthy people. You know, that's the theory of chronic disease and also the drug proving method. Okay, so we prove drugs on healthy people and we find out the symptoms that the medicine produces and then we give it to people with that disease. So we're giving a similar energetic disease, which is the remedy, to a person that is experiencing a natural disease. And what we basically do is substitute the natural disease with the energetic disease. And that makes the organism go back to its homeostasis.
Okay. There's a very long tradition of homeopathy in Mexico and other countries, right? This is something that a lot of people rely on that.
Yes, there is a long tradition and we have many, many homeopaths here in Mexico.
Yeah. Is there no relationship homeopathy and bach flowers?
Yes, there is. We can have both of these working together because they have different frequencies. and they don't they're really not like one against the other. They can complement because they are working in different frequencies, so they do work well together.
Okay, all right. Well, that is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
Anything else that you can share with us, Miriam?
Yes, I would like to share about, the bile field, because sometimes we think that we end where our skin ends. And that is something that, and now that everyone knows that we are energy and everything is energy, and well, it's easier to understand that each living organism is energy, and we are exchanging three things with our environment. We exchange energy, we exchange information, and we exchange matter. Okay, so whenever we are interacting with our environment and we are within a system, we are going to be receiving information from the environment and the social system or the community, and that is going to impact our energy. Many times, whatever we are living in experience is going to produce symptoms, and people forget about this, or they don't know about it. Many don't know about it. So since we are energy systems, we have certain coherence. This biofield has like a very specific, it's organized in a specific way, and it generates oneness. We are complete. The four dimensions of the self integrate all together. What are those four dimensions of the self? Well, the body, the mind, emotion, and spirit. So whenever those are functioning well, we are in coherence. When one of those aspects is not working well, this coherence breaks down, and then disease appears. We start to experience symptoms. So we lose our balance. That's something that we don't really look much into. We think that whenever we have symptoms in the body, it's because something in the biological body is not working well. But we don't tend to check our mind or our emotions or even wonder about our spirituality. And many diseases can have origins in those dimensions. Let's say that a child is experiencing a lot of stress, and probably the family environment is not healthy. That child is going to manifest that the breakdown of the biofield coherence through health. So probably that child is going to start having symptoms in the physical body, or this child is going to start experimenting anxiety or even certain mental health conditions. So that's something very interesting, because we don't usually take it into account, and we try to look for the causes within the physical body, and it's not usually there.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because going back to what I said about I have a headache, I need an aspirin, that's it, and I'm not, but we don't, let's say that I get home after work at 6, 7 in the afternoon, and I have a headache, and I want a remedy right away. I take an aspirin. But we don't go back to what happened throughout the day.
Exactly.
Right? And yes. I think that's something that you are saying, right? We don't go back, okay, what happened? I got up, I went to work, and we don't try to recap what happened throughout the day that made me have a headache.
That's right. Yes. Yes, we don't look for the causes in the life experience. We tend to try to find the solution through taking pills and making that go away, making the symptoms, which are the language of our body and ourselves. We try to keep it quiet and just say stop. I don't want to deal with that right now. And because I have too much going on in my life, so I don't want another thing to deal with or to work with.
And you were talking about, you were giving the example of young kids developing some kind of stress or something else. Are parents opening up to try find something for their kids? Because I remember in the past, there was not even mention of dad or mom, I'm feeling depressed. Because they would say, depressed? What are you depressed about? You have everything you need. You can eat, you have a bed to sleep on, you have everything. What are you depressed about? We didn't acknowledge that a young kid could be depressed.
Right. We didn't acknowledge it before. And now we know that depression in kids does not manifest as it does in adults. They usually get hyperactive and they tend to anger. They don't tend that much to sadness, for example. So it manifests differently, and it doesn't mean that a child cannot experience depression. They do. Now, this is very interesting, Carlos, because parents will take the child, you know, to whatever approach they want. And they want the child to be fixed. So they want the child to be medicated so that the child can restore his or her balance, because this disturbance that the child is going through is disturbing the system. Now, the most common thing is that the child is not the problem. The problem is the environment, the family system. Something is going on. Sometimes it's happening at school. Sometimes it's happening at home. But there's something happening, and that child is experiencing pain or suffering. And the child, yes, has to be treated. We can give them a remedy, or we can do some energy healing. But then parents have to be treated also. It's not like, you know, just fix my child and then we go back to whatever normal means to that family. No, parents need to check on what's happening. What are we doing as parents, and what do we need to change, because our child is manifesting this disturbance.
And are parents willing to do that? Are they willing to say, hey, wait a second, maybe we are doing something wrong and we need to be fixed too?
Well, the ones that are responsible and that are really engaged in the educational process of their children are the ones that don't, you know, that have not planned a certain type of education for their kids, and that are suffering their own lives, don't tend to take responsibility for it.
Yeah, unfortunately, many parents can fall into that trap of, I want my boy or my girl to be fixed. There is something wrong. They have to be fixed because it's not normal. And I'm saying normal, quote unquote, because what is normal?
Exactly. I mean, normal is different for every family. It's different for every person. And then we do have something that we consider common, you know, in maybe in social situations, we think, or we agree on what is normal. But normal is different for most people.
Yeah. I don't know. Asking a kid to act normal, what is normal, and we need to what is, as you say, to the environment, what's creating all these issues. Anything else, Miriam, that you want to share with us?
Well, just that we should take into account the spirituality you know, this dimension of the self, because I think that we have become so so focused on material matters that we forget that we have a spirit. So spirit is not linked to religion. Some people do, you know, have these together, but it's not necessarily, they don't come necessarily together. People can be spiritual and not be religious. And I really like Gabor Mate's definition of spirituality. He says that spirituality is the essence that we all have in us, that lives through us, and that goes beyond us. So there's something immaterial about us. And we are not our thoughts, we are not our emotions, we are not our body, and we are not our conduct, right? We are an essence, and we are experiencing this life. So when we come to understand that, we can take responsibility of our health, and we can also regain the power that we have lost to create a better life.
I totally agree. I think sometimes, I'm not going to generalize or anything like that, but sometimes religion plays a very important part on people's mental health conditions. Because, I don't know, maybe someone is feeling depressed or something, they go see the priest at their local church, and the priest might just say, well, you have too many sins that you have to start praying because you're a sinner and you are bringing this onto yourself for being a bad person. And you are like, hello, that's not the kind of help that I need.
Exactly. Yes, those are very tough emotions. And, you know, being pointed out instead of getting the help you're seeking is really, really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Miriam, thank you very much for being here tonight. I know you are really busy. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. And I want to ask you, how can people get in touch with you? Do you practice online too?
Yes, I do. I do have an online practice. So even if you are not in Mexico or you are not in my city, we can definitely have an online session, and you can reach me at Miriam Olugo through Facebook or Instagram, and you can also find me in my email, miriam.olugo@gmail.com.
Perfect. Excellent. For everyone who out there around the world who might need some kind of virtual consultation, so they can reach out to you, and that would be a great experience, I'm sure.
Thank you, Carlos. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you very much, Miriam. It's been a pleasure and very informative. And I know people are going to really benefit from this conversation. Thank you very much.
I'm happy about that. Thank you, Carlos.